Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. Mommy is back home. We've got the return of Sonya Deville in the ring. We also have Wyatt Six stepping into the ring, plus so much more. But before we get into all of the big news and all of that fun stuff, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by special guest Flobo Voice, along with Jimmy Corderis and special guest action figure Jimmy Corderis.
Well, pythons.
Well, to be honest with you, it's not an official one. There's a young fan out there by the name of Sean Sexsmith. Thank you, Sean. He made this, believe it or not.
Oh, that's fan-made?
Yeah. It has to be. Do I have guns like that?
I think you do.
I mean, I was going to say, you did you some favors in the guns part.
Hey, let's not talk about that. That's a different podcast for another time.
It's, right.
But yeah, it's really cool. Nice of him to do that, man. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, very cool piece of memorabilia there. Sean, if you're looking for more people to make free stuff, I'd love to have one. But listen,
how does he make the hair though? How does he do that deal?
Listen, he's an artist. I don't tell Michelangelo how to paint or sculpt or all. Michelangelo did it all. Michelangelo, yeah. I mean, not only was he the chillest of the Ninja Turtles, also an incredible artist. Wow. Flobo, thanks for joining us again. Special guest on the Monday show. I bet you're regretting it right about now with my Michelangelo references.
Oh, man, dad jokes are what I know you well for. How long have you been doing this? 6 years? So bring it on.
Yeah, of course. Annie's glitches saying, Flobo, the boat of the goats.
Ah.
Wow. So you got fans here on Monday.
Yeah, take that, Mom. I got fans.
Take that, suck it, Mom. Joe C wants to know, where's my Lurking Time t-shirt? We gotta get some merch, you know, Wrestling Inc. and with a profit sharing in place. With the hosts.
That's not happening. No.
Let's talk a bit about some news. Of course, everyone, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star reviews, all that good stuff. John Jordan in the chat, always good to see you. John, when are you going to be on another show?
Hi, John.
everyone, thanks for joining us. But we have some big news, some international news that only the Monday Night Wrestling Inc. crew could cover. WWE had talent all over the world and had talent from all over the world wrestling for them Io Sky went to Japan. AJ Styles went to Japan. And new signing Stephanie Vacker was in Mexico City for a house show there for WWE. Jimmy, you know, we've always just called it World Wrestling for so long. And even though it was always in the United States, but I'm telling you, recently, the past few years, this weekend especially, World absolutely covers it.
It absolutely does. And you see signed talent to World Wrestling Entertainment going out and venturing to other companies. And that's something that we never would have seen under the old regime, unless there was somebody holding a gun to the old man's head. But this is nice change for talent to be able to go to places. I know it's not going to happen often, but like I said, the door has been, at least the olive branch has been extended. And we're seeing, obviously, here in North America, TNA and NXT having a working relationship, which seems to be flourishing and helping a lot of talent there. And hopefully that continues both ways. I want to see that go both ways. But as far as the talent going to Japan, AJ Styles was prominent in Japan for many, many years. So, you know, he wanted to go back and give it at least one more shot over there. And he did great. And, of course, Io Sky had a great match. I actually used to watch that one on got to watch that one back in. Stephanie Vacker, you know what? Now it comes, it makes a lot of sense. People said, well, why did she give up her dates and she bailed on a lot of things that she had, whatever, handshake deals for or made, had committed to. She's under contract to WWE. And, you know, I guess they don't want to take a chance with a new talent getting injured or something along those lines. But, you know, at least, like I said, the olive branch has been extended out there. And hopefully that continues.
Yeah, Flo, we've already seen the WWE impact on wrestling companies who have WWE talent there and how they're selling more seats. They're getting more buzz around them. I think it's fantastic for everything involved. I'd love your thoughts from your perspective as a wrestling fan your whole life and WWE being able to do this. But also, just to, you know, stir the pot a little bit, we all gave AEW a hard time with this forbidden door language, but do they get a little bit of credit for sort of breaking through a barrier to get to a point like this?
To answer that question first, the answer is absolutely, right? Because WWE was basically an entertainment company as far as the way it was considered and how you would have all the fictional characters be inside this universe, the very nature of going outside wouldn't happen. So the fact that AEW did that and even signed their talent to have a little bit more flexibility in their dates with other promotions, you got to give Tony Khan and company their flowers. But I ultimately think it was a conscious decision for the market leader, which is what WWE is, whether you like it or not, to go in that direction. There are a lot of risks in doing so. So I guess they kind of weigh their options. But the fact they're willing to try that, even with different promotions, makes a good deal for everyone. I mean, we heard about Slammiversary selling out, which is amazing for TNA / Impact in a bigger venue this year. So the hit's going to keep on coming.
And Dylan says, I think AEW gets some credit. Absolutely. I also think, of course, with that, TNA deserves some credit because they were a part of that too when they were doing the whole Forbidden Door thing in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think they all deserve credit for that. AEW, of course, here in the States is the one that comes to mind first, but all those companies that were a part of it all pitched into that. So I think it's very cool that this is happening. Again, we've talked about it before, so I won't belabor it, but just, you know, you go back and you think back to just a few years ago and the idea of these crossovers happening, never would have happened, but here it is. It's happening. It's cool. And I absolutely love to see it. I also love to see folks like Dylan Matthews in the chat, Laura Rock, Stephen Camp, Ethan Cruz, and Jose Lurker City coming through. We got some more stuff. People leave. Of course, there's people traveling all over the world, guys. But some people are like, you know what? I'm happy right where I am. And Natalya is one of them. According to Fightful, Natalya inked her extension with WWE in late June, shortly before her previous deal expired. Contract-related discussions between the two parties are said to have begun in May, with Natalya citing preference in maintaining the ability to continue working on various outside projects, which may include a possible Hart family film. Regarding the length of Natalya's deal, it's one that will reportedly carry her forth in WWE for multiple years. Flobo, this is a signing that I think we all saw coming or a re-signing, but doesn't mean it's not a good move and big deal for WWE.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Natalya has been one of the better player coaches in WWE, being to help the train the new girls, or new women, excuse me, and still having time to have her own storylines. As an artist, there was a slight tinge of maybe she wanted to do something for herself, maybe see if she still has it in her, which any creative or athlete would tell you that's a drive you have. But I do think this is kind of the best home for her. She's treated like family. None of her family members are Hall of Famers, and now she can keep giving and have her own learning tree.
Yes, the learning tree. Jimmy, the a great signing. I know you're a big fan of Natalya. Mm-hmm. You guys are basically next door neighbors because you're both Canadian, and I assume that everyone in Canada is a next door neighbor.
I do.
But obviously, tell me how big of a signing this is for WWE to keep this relationship, because this is a world where people jump ship all the time. Mm-hmm. But also, this Hart family film thing is intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what you think that may mean.
That's an interesting one. I've heard rumors that this thing is in the works, but I don't have any facts to back that up. I'm just, you know, obviously talking about little rumors that I hear here and there, but mm-hmm. I think it's definitely got to do with the legacy of the Hart family, especially here in Canada, because it is so in-depth, you know, starting with Stu Hart and the dungeon and everybody that's come out of the dungeon, not just the Hart family, all the wrestlers that have gone there and been trained by the Hart family. It's incredible, the list of competitors. And even a lot of WWE talent before the Performance Center, before FCW and NXT, way before that, a lot of the talent, OVW talent, was sent to Calgary to train under Stu and under the Hart family. So it could be that. It could have a lot to do with maybe they will include a little bit on Owen, hopefully, and kind of mend some fences there, because I know there's some, you know, a little tension there. So I don't want to get into that part of it, but, you know, and the legacy, and you talk about the family tree, and of course, Natalya is a big part of that. And as far as her outside projects, I'm noticing online that she's posting a lot of stuff of her training people in a gym in a ring that does not look like it's an NXT ring. So maybe she's opening up her own school. I don't know if that's a possibility. Her and her husband can train talent, and that would be amazing. But having her on board and training the women's division, which is completely stacked right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a stacked division it is right now. So to me, that's a no-brainer to keep her on board.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the idea of them doing just about any project revolving around the Hart family dungeon, because as a fan, it's always fascinated me. So many big names have come through there. But let me tell you, there's one person I hope they focus on if they do tell the story. One person I want to know all about. That's Lance Storm, graduate of the Hart family dungeon. If I could be serious for a minute, Lance
Storm. He's always serious.
For just 1 minute. Come on. That's all
someone I want to have a comedy show. Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, Lance Storm comedy. I'll buy a ticket to see that.
Oh, it'd be so good. You know who I would love to see people. You know who I'd love to see at the show is the ones who are at this show. Guys like Ricky Zaldivar, Ken Kreider coming through, Jonathan Torres, Danny Cochran, Fernando, and Montez, and Tommy. Oh, good to see you coming through, guys.
I gotta mention something, Jack, though, about Lance Storm and his humor.
Careful.
He's got one of those deliveries where when he says something, you're not sure if he's joking or not. So you're not, you're kind of hesitant. Do I laugh? Do I not laugh? Should I just, I don't know.
Mark of genius.
So speaking of shows, though, that we could see, maybe not see, I don't know. Bailey talked about a specific event that happened in 2018 that she said she'd like to see come back on WWE's YouTube channel. Speaking to Cody Rhodes, she said, "So the thing about the first Evolution was we had so many girls from NXT and a lot of women from the past. It was kind of like the first few Royal Rumbles because we didn't have enough women to fill up these matches. And now we do. And I think it would be so cool to give everybody on Raw, everybody on SmackDown, a part on that show, Evolution 2. Flobo, I feel like this is a conversation that comes up regularly. Should they do Evolution again? What are your thoughts on the idea of them doing Evolution 2?
You know what? I know no one likes to hear that, especially nowadays, but I see both sides, right? There's one thing where, like, well, Evolution was a big deal. We had, like, the pomp and circumstance, and we had old and new, and it really felt like a night for not only the women wrestlers, but something you bring, like, your nieces or your sisters to the show. Hey, look, this could be you, which is what you want. But I also understand one of the cool things about WWE, especially the NXT brand, is that there's so much female talent that they can have more matches on NXT. We don't bat an eye. So I see both sides, but ultimately, if you tell me in this era of Saudi pay-per-views or PLEs or the big stadium shows, we're doing something specifically for women talent, I think it would sell. So if you have something that would sell, it's worth a try, you know?
Yeah, I'm never going to say no to them putting on a great show. Of course, like, if you can do a good show, put on a great show. I think that that's awesome. I do think that you know, I'm not going to say Bailey's wrong about anything. I thought what was cool about a lot of Evolution too was just getting to see people we don't get to see regularly too get involved. And so that's kind of one of the things I really enjoyed about it. Jimmy, what are your thoughts? Evolution 2, would you be up for it?
I would be, because like I said earlier, there's the roster on the women's side is stacked, whether you go through Raw, SmackDown, NXT included, and you could incorporate some women from TNA. And elsewhere, mm-hmm. since that, like we said, that door, it's an open door, not a forbidden door here now. So, you know, and the model, like you said, from a business standpoint, is no longer a pay-per-view where people have to pay specifically for that event. It's a PLE, which is on your platform anyways. So why not try to, you know, take a chance to see if you get some more eyes on that product, because they are starting to feature the women a lot more on television. So yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I will say what would be different this time around with Evolution, and what if they did an Evolution 2, is so much about Evolution was about the women's division sort of finding a seat at the table, where now I think they absolutely have a seat at the table. It's a matter of getting the same number of seats at the table, you know,
right.
Or getting a head of the table position. Sorry, Roman Reigns, but you know, and building towards that. So I do love seeing a big push that they're getting beyond just a quote specialty show.
Sure.
I love seeing them main eventing WrestleMania. I love seeing more of that happening as well. But again, if you can have a great show that features a lot of people, yes. And Flobo, to your point, if you can make money doing it, double yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The first one was really about, especially how the first one came about. We won't go into details of how that was the case. It really felt cynical, or could have been cynical, but it wasn't. And I do think while the first one's a celebration of the women's roster, the second one, if they were to have one, would be a celebration of the fandom of it, right? What it meant to be a Divas fan, what it meant to be in the stands during Give Divas a Chance, what it meant to have perfect Joshi Peruso wrestlers you love in Japan come over. It'll be a different feel. It won't be the same kind of feel, but it definitely can't be done, especially when PLEs can be, like, not thrown up, but there's more you can have with the Smackvilles, the Starcades, and all those jazz.
Manish says, some rumors of two new women's championships. They can introduce that in that show, even if it is a plan. So that's a good way to introduce them. I agree. Manish, by the way, all the way from India tuning in. So appreciate you, Manish.
Yes.
Wow. Definitely appreciate you coming through.
Or early.
Yeah. And of course, Annie's glitch is coming through. Fernando, Big John, Andy Hannigan, Tuck Graff, Louis Chiodini. I know I'm saying that wrong. I'm sorry. But Scott Langford as well. Lots of great folks coming through. I got to say about some news, not coming through, but more coming back. Big name coming back. Not just a big name. A big dog coming back. According to PW Insider Elite, a comeback for Reigns is not only in the cards, but isn't too far away. Those within WWE expect Reigns to be back in the company by SummerSlam, which takes place on August 3rd, meaning that there is reportedly a plan to have him return on an episode of SmackDown in the weeks leading up to the premium live event in Cleveland. At time of writing, there are only 3 SmackDown shows left before SummerSlam, meaning that he could return either on July 19th or July 26th. Jimmy, I feel like predicting Roman Reigns coming back at SummerSlam is not the hottest take. I think a lot of people kind of see it coming. Kind of spicy to think that he might come back before it, though. Do you think that that's a likelihood that we see him on a SmackDown before SummerSlam?
For me, I wouldn't like to see that because it would ruin the surprise if it is that he is going to return at that time at SummerSlam. So for me, don't do it before. Don't ruin the surprise. It's just, and it may be a reason why we have Solo versus Cody going into SummerSlam, because we expected something at another challenger. I did, at least anyways, for Cody. I didn't think this was going to happen so soon, and maybe not Roman. I thought maybe it would be somebody else from the Bloodline first. And mm-hmm. I didn't know if, but again, my take is I wouldn't mind seeing Roman come back at SummerSlam, but at the same time, I don't want to see it before that because you're going to lose that pop, that monster pop that you would get at a stadium show.
Yeah. Flobo, thoughts on, you know, you cover SmackDown, so you've got like the insider's edge.
Oh no.
This.
Oh no, 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 no.
You know, you got the inside scoop. You've got, you know what's going on. Your ears to the ground with all things SmackDown.
That is not true.
July 19th, July 26th, or SummerSlam, your entire reputation hinges on this. When does Roman Reigns return?
My reputation? None of the above. It's
your
way too
entire
soon.
Reputation.
It's way too soon. Look, and if he shows up, I'll say, right on time. But let's be honest with you. The Bloodline 2.0, they're finally beginning to gel. A lot slower than people give him credit for. I think Solo is trying his hardest to be a tribal chief, but with the budding conflict with Paul and trying to differentiate what it means to be Tama Tonga or Tamaloa in Tonga Loa in this promotion right now, I do think they need more time before you pull the trigger on Roman. But that said, if that was the only choice I had to do, the latest one. So SummerSlam. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. You think it's too soon? Interesting. I mean, I feel like you could always wait, but like, I agree. Yeah, when Roman comes back, it's going to be a huge deal. I think it needs to be on a pay-per-view or PLE. You put on the biggest show. You don't just have it as a random comeback. And Dylan says, Roman Reigns can't come back as the big dog. Braun Breaker got too much of that dog in
him. No.
Oh, my goodness. They yeah. could imagine they team up and they come out to Who Let the Dogs Out as their theme. It would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't. It would. No, Lance Storm is like, what the heck is that?
Yeah. Who let the dogs out? And they're like,
oh no,
suffering succotash. Oh,
that would be the worst. You would see WWE stock, like all of TKO stock would just plummet the second that happened. Dana White's like, how come the UFC's going out of business? What happened?
One guy, the Baja Men.
Yeah. The Baja Men. And Dana White's just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. a massive gaming franchise announces upcoming collaboration with WWE, kind of like our collaboration with folks in the chat, like Big John and Daniel Berry and Stock and You and Baby Ice and Ricky Sinclair and Joel Jose and Ebony Washington and Adonde and Manish and Jeroy Jay and everyone else. Thank you so much for being here. Globally popular video game franchise Call of Duty has announced an upcoming collaboration with WWE. A brief teaser trailer was posted to the Activision title's official social media, stopping short of explaining what the collaboration entails exactly, showing merely a ring and silhouettes of wrestlers stood behind the camera perspective. The collaboration is slated to go live on July 24th for Season 5 of Call of Duty's Warzone, the free-to-play Battle Royale title of the franchise. It's about to be a SmackDown. WWE is bringing its best to the ring in Call of Duty Season 5 starting July 24th. The post was captioned. Flobo, you're a big gamer. You do a lot of casting for games. Of course, you've been flown out internationally. It's a big deal. You again have your ear to the two grounds.
My ears. Yeah.
Your head is sandwiched between two grounds. What do you think's going on with WWE and Call of Duty? What do you suspect will happen here?
This is kind of ironic. The short answer is I don't know. But this is kind of ironic because I'm into Rocket League. That's the main game I play. And I got into Rocket League due to the collaboration WWE had with Rocket League at the time. So, like, I have my cars have SmackDown logos on them, NXT logos on them, they call them cosmetics. But when you saw the promo, you saw the silhouettes, that tells me you're getting loadouts. You're getting skins, probably. You're getting to look like Cody Rhodes, which is kind of ironic if you think about what you do in Call of Duty. But you know what? I'm super excited for it because why not, man? Mix the two things you love the most, gaming and wrestling.
Jimmy, since Flobo, I put him over as being this insider, and he's like, I don't know, not my wheelhouse. I just totally threw me under the bus. Yeah. What would you, are you a gamer, Jimmy? Do you play video games?
No, I do not. I'm not a gamer at all.
Do you play magazine games, like the ones that come in little booklets, like Sudoku?
Stop. That's about the, I can do that on my phone now. I don't have to get the booklet.
Yeah, a magazine jack, really? Yeah.
Listen, I'm here for what's print business. The thriving
business
world
isn't
of,
good.
The thriving world of print is what I'm here for.
Magazines.
See, the only magazines I have are old wrestling magazines, which I actually found while we were cleaning up on the weekend. My goodness, I found like two boxes full of old WWF and Pro Wrestling Illustrated and The Wrestler and all these old magazines, and they're actually not in bad shape, but I'm going to try and clean them off.
Well, let's do it. Yeah.
Baby Ice says, Duck Hunt fan, stand up. You know, the biggest heel in all of history is that dog that laughed at you every time you missed the duck.
The dog had one job. If you're not supplying the service, I mean, it wasn't your fault.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
Duck Hunt? You don't know what Duck Hunt is, Jimmy?
I don't even remember.
It came with Super Mario Brothers back in 1985, 86.
I don't know when it came out, but okay. I still know the dog coming up going.
Wow. I'm still in the Pong stage, so never mind.
Pong never goes away.
Well, we got a lot of show to cover here tonight. Let's get into it. But last roll call of the night, Raul, Brianne, Samantha saying, there's over 100 of us here. Can we get 100 thumbs up for these three gents? Samantha, with the chat of the night, you're the winner. Thank you so much for that. But Chad WJR, Carrie, Jay Willie, good fella. I don't know how to pronounce this. Flo, how do I pronounce this name?
Angel USD.
Angel USD. Oh, that's easier. and King of Art, or the King Art. I appreciate you. All coming through, and Huffman Elite Training at the last minute. I'll give you a shout out too. Let's talk about this pro wrestling event that went down.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WWE Raw on July 15th. We'll know it for the rest of our days as the day that Judgment Day came for Dominic Mysterio. Rhea Ripley comes up and she says she's going to handle Dom later. For now, she wants to deal with Liv. Dom comes out anyways and Rhea turns her back until Liv shows up on the Titantron. They agree to a match at SummerSlam later. Rhea Ripley slams the judgment door in Dom's face. Jimmy, this was a showdown we have been waiting for a very long time. Did it deliver?
To some extent, I'm still waiting to see the conclusion of it because we haven't got there yet. So I like the fact that they are dragging it out a little bit and Dom continuously tries to make amends to Mommy. And it doesn't seem to be working when they were in the clubhouse and she was picking the flowers and kind of throwing them in his face and just little things like that. And the little subtleties from Carlito after a while. Dude, you're having a problem. Just little one-liners that he's throwing in there. So there's a little bit of comedy thrown in there, which, you know, for an old dad guy like me, dad joke guy, I like that kind of stuff. But it's continuing the story. And you see different layers where Damian Priest even has a role in it where it almost seems like, okay, you reap what you sow, Dom. And he's even getting a giggle out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's fun right now. So far, it's fun.
Flobo, this Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan, when we look at all of the stuff and all the build it's had, is this a main event? Is this a SummerSlam main event?
SummerSlam main event. And it's only one night. No, I'm going to say no because it's one night. I do think what's going on in SmackDown is a little bit bigger than this, but I will say this. I have not seen a blood feud in the women's division in a long time. And yes, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. It's over a guy, but I do think it's pretty cool that Rhea Ripley came back and wanted to get her title versus Liv Morgan saying, you put me on the shelf. I'm taking everything from you. That is like classic, even biblical good versus evil. I'm on board for this one. This could be the semi-main or that match right before the main event.
Jimmy, do you think they should up the stakes from just a regular match on this one, add a stip, make it something a little more heated, something like a Dom on a pole match?
If Vince Russo was booking, obviously it would be, but I don't know if you need to have a stip on this one other than, because it is the first match back since Rhea's been injured. So I wouldn't put a stip on it just yet. If they're going to go further with this rivalry, which it looks like they're going to extend it and prolong it, you have to have that stipulation later on, I think.
We move on later in the night. Jey Uso, first off, Damian Priest and Rhea seem to be super friendly. And Rhea's still mad at Dom. Dom's getting mad at Priest for not warning him about Rhea Ripley. And then Jey Uso shows up and says he heard Ripley was single. So Dom wants to have a fight with him. During the match, Liv shows up, comes out of nowhere, and Rhea Ripley chases off Liv. That leads to Dom eating a spear, eating a splash, and eating a big old L. But at the end of the day, he still belongs to Rhea Ripley. Flobo, is Damian Priest the worst friend you could have?
I was in my notes. I had Damian Priest's Jack farming it up. That's exactly what he was doing. I told you 6 weeks ago, it's your problem now. Let me know how it goes. Dude, he's totally milking it. I love it because Damian Priest was right. He has no priorities, and you messed up, Dom.
I will say I've never once told anyone I'm a good friend. So in my defense, I've always said I'm a sellout. So
tell me like it is.
I'm waiting for Jack to walk away. I'm going, I'm not the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy.
Totally.
This was now, of course, I'm kind of glad it went the way it did because Jimmy, I was watching this match and honestly, Dom didn't do anything wrong here. He was begging for Liv to leave him alone. He got knocked into her. So I'm kind of glad that Rhea Ripley did say everything was okay. But do you think that was the right move? Like, do you like that everything's kind of back to normal? Or do you feel like there should have been a little bit more, they should have drug out the friction a little bit more, Jimmy?
I don't think it is back to normal. I mean, she said so. They always say so. Hey, everything's fine. Everything's cool. Right. Wait till later. You're going to hear about it. So I think there's going to be more tension there. It's going to happen, especially with Liv pushing the buttons like she's doing. And like Flobo said, I love that Damian Priest is kind of getting a kick out of this whole thing. And that makes it too.
Yeah, Jimmy, he's like, Jimmy says, they always say it's okay. Women, mm-hmm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. They always say it.
Totally. No.
Hey, it's always you turn around. Oh, are we cool? Yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And then you find out later. No. I thought everything was cool.
Yeah, fine doesn't mean fine. It never does, Jimmy. I don't know.
Adonde with the real point here. He's Priest is Rhea's friend first before he's Dom's friend. You know what Listen, I think Dom's got to take his eye off Jey Uso. He's got to have an eye right on Damian Priest. I think Damian Priest might be the fox in the hen house he's got to worry about, Flobo.
That's exactly what it is, because Damian Priest looks kind of slippery these days.
Maria thinks they should have drug it out a little bit more. Jack's trying to get everybody in trouble.
Yes, see? He's not a face. Guys, he's not a face. I don't know.
Jair's lurking. So this was, I thought this was fun, but we're going to move to some stuff that wasn't very fun. Actually, you know what? I'm going to rearrange the order here just because it flows easier. Damian Priest, the guy we were just talking about, Mr. Steal Your Girl, if you're not careful, Damian Priest. I see right through you.
Jay tried.
Yeah. He has a little chat with Gunther, and Gunther says he's not impressed by Damian Priest's run. Gunther says that being from the streets is a choice, and he's going to bring honor to the championship because Priest will always be street trash. Priest calls Gunther privileged, but before things can break down, Braun Strowman comes out in what is a slugfest, with Priest getting the win and putting the first singles loss on Strowman since his return. Flobo, this promo, it was different than I expected these two to be. What were your thoughts on this one?
I think I texted you when it was happening. It's very Triple H and Booker T, and it seemingly comes out of nowhere. Like, we had the promos for Gunther. Is it Gunther or Gunther or Gunther? Is it
Gunther?
Yeah. Yes. Gunther? It's okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. It's all of them. We had the promos. It looked very presidential. Like he was running for office. You know what I mean? But I think the core tenet of his character was always, he doesn't really care about the person he's fighting. He's more about the art of combat. And so this was like totally a characteristic switch that, yeah, it serves this story. But if I was a Gunther fan, I'm like, whoa, he has classism issues too? I had no idea. So it threw me for a loop. And Damian, yes, it's right. His run is something we talked about in the show. It's not as high wattage as some of the other runs, but when Gunther's doing that, it almost seems like low-hanging fruit for someone who specifically just said, I'm just better, which worked for him up until tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy, that was kind of the issue I had, is it felt like at no point did Gunther ever talk about how privileged he is, and at no point have we heard that Damian Priest – I mean, we knew that Damian Priest had a lot to work through to get to where he is today, and I think that's kind of the – that's kind of the story with him. I get that. But this also kind of felt like a story that sort of came out of nowhere and didn't really fit what either guy has said ever before in this case. What were your takeaways on this one? I'll be honest. I was a little, I was kind of thrown off a bit by this one.
I can see where you're coming from, but for me, I was waiting for something to inject some life into this match because we knew it was coming up at SummerSlam, Gunther winning the King of the Ring tournament. So he got that title opportunity against Damian Priest at SummerSlam. So nothing had been done between the two leading up to this, and it's only 3 weeks away or so. So they had to do something to inject some life into it. I thought they did a pretty good job of injecting some animosity between the two. Mm-hmm. And getting me at least more interested in this thing. And because going into it before tonight, I was like, okay, how are they going to get these guys into each other? So they tore into each other on the mic, and I thought Damian hung really well, and his promo flowed really well. And we finally saw a little more come out of him, and it almost felt like this is the precursor to him becoming a babyface, the way his verbiage, his language, and how he interacted with them.
I hate it. I like the idea of him being a babyface. It's just the whole I fought for everything. It's like almost so generic, which was something that people have been acostizing Damian Priest for being too generic on the microphone, not being hyped enough. Here's a chance to really do something with a unique voice. And it felt like it was a John Cena promo that was recasted, recited, rather than something unique to him. Or not. It's fine. I
respectfully disagree.
I withdraw. I'm sorry, guys.
No. It's cool. It's cool if that's what you think. It's
stand your ground, Flobo.
Yeah,
it got really quiet, man.
It's fine for me. I thought it wasn't what he said. It was how he said it.
Right.
Sometimes it's the inflection and the tone, and that's what I liked about it. Gunther is going to be Gunther, but. I saw more from Damian Priest tonight, and I was glad to see it.
I will say, Tutgraf says, I missed the segment. Street trash is fighting words. So when he comes, I did almost feel like, whoa. Like, that's one of those phrases where you almost feel like, are you allowed to say that?
No, the street trash wasn't the fighting words. When he talked about his parents not providing for him, like he was privileged that his parents provided for him, now that's fighting words.
I don't know, like in a bubble, I thought it was fine. But just like I said, Damian Priest was just very different today. The whole day, he was kind of laughing backstage and kind of goofy. And I get the direction they're going with him. It just felt like he felt very much like a kid after summer break. And he comes back with a new personality. he hasn't laughed in 2 years. And now suddenly he's like, oh, Dom, Jay. and then Gunther kind of the same thing. Like, yeah, Gunther's always just been like, look, I'm the best and I'm going to beat you and I'm going to embarrass you. And you can either give me the title or not. But then I don't know. It wasn't any individual verbiage for me. It's just more like, oh, this just doesn't feel like what these two guys would say. I don't know.
100%.
Fair enough.
Big win though, beating Strowman. Jimmy, does Strowman taking a clean loss tonight hurt his value to you? And what are your thoughts on the world champion having a match that's just a regular match on Monday Night Raw?
It wasn't for the title, was it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They never announced it, so obviously I don't think it was a championship match. And I feel if the champion is going to have a match, whether it's on Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, I don't care what night it is, the championship should be on the line. And it wasn't here. And that's the only thing I didn't like about it. I didn't mind Braun Strowman taking the loss here because even though he hasn't lost since his return, he has been just kind of like just there running people mm-hmm. over around the ring, which is somebody else's gimmick too, if I'm not mistaken. But, I didn't mind it too much, and it helped get Damian Priest a big win that he needed in front of some eyes.
Yeah, I do think the big win helps him. I think that was a very important win for him to get. This is probably this next part, though. It's probably the thing that most people are going to be talking about, probably the thing that lit up social media the most, and that was what went down with Chad Gable. He did talk to Akira backstage, and I was just as excited for him as everyone else when Akira was on screen. But let's talk about what really went down. Chad Gable is looking for help with the Wyatt Six. The Alpha Academy says they're going to help somebody, but they're going to help Xavier Woods. We get a video from Eric Rowan. Chad reveals to the world groundbreaking news that it's actually Uncle Howdy is actually Bo Dallas.
Shocker.
Spoiler alert.
I was surprised.
Bo Dallas comes out. The Creeds jump Bo Dallas, and then the Wyatt Six show up to chase off the Creeds. Jimmy, a lot of stuff to break down in here. I was just saying, go for it. Overall thoughts?
Well, I didn't mind it. I like seeing Bo Dallas, actually Bo Dallas, on television because we've seen those videos of him, those VHS tapes. And just to jump back a little bit, I was happy to see another member of the Wyatt family or the Wyatt Six in one of the VHS packages. But as far as that segment and how it went down and the Creed brothers helping out Chad Gable, we flash back to I don't know how many weeks ago it was where he was talking to them backstage. And it just seemed like an interaction And it was basically left on think about it. And I guess they thought about it and decided to join Chad Gable. And it makes sense for those two to come together because the Creed brothers are very good in the ring. We saw that. We've seen what they can do. But they need something more. They need some character development. They need to show a little bit of something other than just in-ring ability. And having someone like Chad Gable with them, hopefully he can bring that out in them. But as far as the Wyatts go, you talk about wrestling cinema. Man, this whole thing is just off the charts. I know it's not for everybody, but if you're into that kind of thing, you talk about sports entertainment. Again, nobody delivers it the way they do. And the presentation, I thought, was really well, if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, nothing says, for Creeds anyways, nothing says we're bad guys now like a pair of new suits in pro wrestling.
And no socks and sneakers.
And no socks. You know those shoes stink after they take them off.
That's why you boo them?
I can smell you from here. I'm like Dean Ambrose with the gas mask on.
It's July.
Flobo, of course, there's a lot of stuff to take here, so I want you to talk about everything. But anyone who watches the show can probably read between the lines. I'm a little skeptical of the Wyatt Six, but I feel like every week something happens. I go, okay, you got me for another week. I always feel like, I don't know how many more weeks you got, but every week it feels like they do that. This week, I was ready to go, man. Something better happen. And then when the video of Rowan starts, I'm like, oh, okay, we're just going to get another video of them talking. I got to confess, man, Rowan delivered in that promo. He absolutely knocked it out of the park. That was one of the most emotional promos I've ever seen. And I was like, I am hooked on this. I'm into it. And they got in the ring later. And I feel like they did that in a good way as well. I think, again, I'm saying this as someone I like to preface that I'm skeptical because I think there's a lot of people who are just like, I love everything they do, no matter what. I'm telling you, I'm coming into it jaded and they've got me.
Yeah, that goes without saying. I mean, because I felt very much similar to how you are about the long reveals. And I'm so glad. Well, it's kind of weird that Alpha Academy is working with Xavier Woods, but I'm glad we got a clean break now. There's going to be no Otis. There's going to be no Maxine. It's going to be Chad and his new goons. Kind of weird. The crowd didn't really care for the Creed. They're actually beating up Bo Dallas. But hey, look, we all love booing Chad. So we got that video, that VHS, and shout out to Pat McAfee for being a good sport in the show, not once but twice, to have that video tape storyline on his legitimate sports program. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything about this. We're getting a little bit from each member one by one. We all know why they're part of it, but the moment I enjoyed it was when Bo was getting beat up and the lights went out and the crowd was saying the chant I was saying out loud. I think that's when you know you hooked everyone, where everybody goes, we don't know what's going to happen, but you messed up, Chad.
Yeah, it completely well done. I'm gonna ask a question. I like I said, I'm into this, but this is something that is on my mind as I look at this. Chad Gable, he's cutting promos and they're funny. He's, you know, I know who this is. Bo Dallas. Ha ha. We're all kind of laughing. It's kind of silly. It's kind of jokey. I've kind of asked this before, Jimmy, but something this serious that we have with this video with Rowan, is it not a good idea to have someone act so silly about the whole situation at the same time? Or does that add a good clash, if that makes sense?
I don't mind it as much because it's not over the top silly, if you know what I mean. It's almost like he does it, like I said, we talked about Lance Storm earlier. He does it in a serious tone, which makes it a little more, okay, it is kind of like comedic, but at the same time, in his own mind, he thinks he's pulled, you know, he's figured something out, like Inspector Clouseau, he figured it out, you know what I mean? So I don't mind it that much, but I see your point now that you brought that up. I could see where that could be a little bit of a problem going forward. He needs to treat it a little more serious because, you know, when we saw that Kurt Angle could do comedy and it was great, but he knew when to do it. And that's the difference here. Maybe he needs to just tone down that little bit of comedic delivery and make it really, really serious. And because we've seen that side of him too. And that could be, you know, I think that works better in this situation, especially if you're treating the Wyatt Six as a serious threat.
Scott Langford says it humanizes the Wyatts, which is important. So good point. we move on to Drew McIntyre. He comes out and he wants his match with CM Punk, and he can have it as long as he apologizes to the referees. And he doesn't, because the referees have screwed him time and time again. Why aren't they apologizing to Drew McIntyre? DM Hunk says. So he's still suspended. DM Hunk. Come on.
No.
See, now I can't get it out of my mind.
No.
Drew goes nuts and Seth Rollins chases him off. Flobo, this was a situation that was, this is interesting to me because now I think a lot of us were thinking CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, SummerSlam, both Seth Rollins involved, kind of feels like it might be Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, SummerSlam. What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, that's kind of the move. It just seems that Seth Rollins is getting himself involved almost, not say beneath them, it kind of feels like he's doing the extra stuff. So that would be the immediate conflict. And so where is CM Punk? We don't know. The money match is still there. He still hangs out in the wings causing havoc. So he can get involved at SummerSlam, but the immediate match is definitely Rollins McIntyre.
Bouncing back to you, Flobo. Let's just say, I don't know anything about CM Punk's injury or his status or anything like that, but let's just say he's not 100% cleared for SummerSlam. Or let's just say for whatever reason, they're deciding to push this off. Can they make Drew McIntyre, CM Punk work until Survivor Series, or are they going to have to do this on a small? I don't know if they have smaller shows anymore, but like, are they going to have to do it at a, you know,
not,
I guess
not four.
Not one of the big fours.
4 months is a long time, especially since we've been building this up for 4 months in between. It was like a lot of conscious efforts, a lot of stare downs, a lot of contract sightings, a lot of like, I'm in the arena, you're not in the arena, a lot of flim-flams and shenanigans. But you run the risk of being past the point of interest, right? Because it seems like much like how Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio seem to be fighting for the past 4.5 years or decade. You don't want that to happen to you with a match like Punk Drew. It can be done. We know long storytelling is what they do, but for this, it has to be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, I am kind of getting to that phase where with Money in the Bank, I was kind of like, okay, I'm done. I get why they did what they did, but like, I'm ready for this match. I'm done with the your costume matches again and again and again and again and again. Now I'm ready for the match. But, you know, I see Dylan Matthews is predicting bad blood. I feel like Cody Rhodes has to main event that show. And whatever Drew McIntyre, CM Punk does, feels like it's got a main event, right? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
So maybe, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but Jimmy, I want your thoughts on fantasy booking. But also, this was a tweet I saw. I want your thoughts on everything, but a tweet I saw from @ZachHadorn. A great writer and wrestling pundit, if you guys want to follow him, not affiliated to Wrestling Inc., just giving a shout out here, says they need to pull back on Adam Pearce trying to make Punk Drew, quote, because it will be special. No, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's way too close to the line of booking a show rather than a fight. Basically saying, this is supposed to feel like it's a fight, two guys who hate each other, not a spectacle, like let's book a show. This is a fight between two guys who hate each other. Do you get where Zach's coming from? Do you agree? What are your thoughts on that statement?
I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, this isn't like UFC or this isn't like boxing. This is pro wrestling. It's done differently than all of those because there is drama involved. There is storytelling involved. When you get two antagonists who want to beat the living you-know-what out of each other in UFC, they just put it in the ring. They put it in the octagon, and they say, you go. You settle it there. In wrestling, you have to have a backstory. You have to have some layers added to this story, and that's what it is with Punk and Drew. And I see where you guys are coming from. If you let it go too long, will the public still be on board with this story? I mean, we feared that with the Bloodline story, especially past WrestleMania when Roman Reigns went away, and we're seeing that they injected new life into that. And I'm sure they can do that here as well, because people do want to see Punk versus Drew at some point. The only problem is you have such a stacked card going into SummerSlam. Does that main event and does that overshadow not only the world title picture, but the universal title match as well? Because that match deserves to main event a pay-per-view. So do you wait for one of the other ones, like a Bad Blood or like one of the non big four, to have their first match back? That's a tough call. That's a tough call to make.
Yeah, because you're right. It does feel like it needs to main event, but especially in this new era, they're really not big in having a non title match main event.
Right.
And I guess they did at Money in the Bank, didn't they? They just had the six man.
The six man at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. So I guess they do have, but yeah, the world champion in the match. I don't know. We'll see. We're educated analysts.
Whatchamacallit and something or other.
Exactly.
I think you get it.
So
Yeet Flies.
The Yeet Flies. Speaking of Yeet Flies, Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov have none, but they're going to have an Intercontinental Championship match in our main event. Sami says he's given Ilya a shot because Ilya reminds Sami of himself. Breaker's unhappy about it, so during the match, Breaker comes out and kills both of them, and we end the show on that. Flobo, when you look at Ilya Dragunov, do you see a young Sami Zayn?
Absolutely not. I like Ilya Dragunov. He's tough. He's intense. He's someone who trains all the time. This guy is ripped from granite. This guy is someone who knows how focus is all about. He knows what the goal is all about. He knows that he has to not only be good at his craft, but be always good to have his head on a swivel. He is so unlike Sami Zayn. I'm surprised you even compare them.
Well, I didn't compare him. Sami Zayn compared him.
All right. I don't know what the heck he was thinking. Ilya Dragunov is superior in so different ways, and he doesn't come out the ska. That's right. I said it. The only you have ska, I don't like you.
Hey, Flobo hates ska. Oh. Hates bands like Fishbone. Hates bands like, like Real Big Fish.
All the official ones. Like, the actual band Fish is cool. But Real Big Fish is terrible.
Like Sublime. Like...
One song was cool,
like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yes, things like that. That was 15
how many
years
of these
ago.
Bands can I think of right now?
But I'm talking about Sky's man. You can't be like, yeah, I'm a champion for the people. Whoa, it sounds like Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails gonna go through some loop de loops. Come on.
Less than Jake are so disappointed right
they
now.
They should be.
By the way, Ska, your names are terrible for.
Exactly. Part of the problem.
How come they're all such long names? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake. Tutgraph with the Specials, though. That's a good one.
Okay, that's classic Sky, though.
The Hippos. Wow, we got Flobo. You have offended the entire group here.
Hey, you and I both know original Ska, the Island Ska was fine. That second, third, and fourth wave stuff is different.
It's like the Scottalites.
Stop!
Toots and the Mattels. The
Stop
Whalers.
Doing it.
Come on.
Way out of my wheelhouse.
I am a DJ. Hire me. I'll play your all ska event. Jimmy Corderas, thoughts on this whole Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov were what we were talking about before Flobo and I went off on a ska tangent. I don't know why I got hung up on this. I get why Sami Zayn says, you remind me of myself when I was younger. That's what you kind of, the guy who's been around says to the new guy. But I don't know. I was like, he's nothing like Sami Zayn. Why is he saying that?
The only thing I could think of is he's talking about his fighting from underneath and being an underdog kind of thing. But I don't even see him as much as that because like Flobo said, this guy, he fights, he stands up. And yes, Sami does fight from underneath and he does take on a lot of punishment from a lot bigger guys than him, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
He's right. Yeah.
How'd you feel about this whole situation? The Sami, the Dragunov, the Braun Breaker. Did you like it? Did you like how they presented it? Do you like that it closed the show?
I didn't like it closing the show only because I didn't like the ending. I've kind of figured, yes, we know sometimes stuff is predictable, but it's all about the story and how you get to that ending and that where you the goal where you're trying to get to. And I figured it was just going to be more the same of Braun Breaker coming out, running 23 miles an hour at somebody and spearing him and then causing havoc. And there goes the match. And now are we moving towards a three-way at SummerSlam, which seems to be where we're going. But I still want to know where they got the number 20. Did somebody actually put a radar on him while he was running the ropes or anything like that?
I wouldn't.
Or was it just Steiner math that they used?
I think it was Steiner math.
Okay. Dude, that'd be hilarious. If Steiner had a whole like promo, like the velocity of a route was not normal. It's actually 23 and a half miles.
Yeah. The average front breaker leaves the station at 5 p.m. everyone in the chat has some strong opinions on ska music. So for fun, in the comments after the show, let us know your favorite music genre. I'd love to know what music genre our listeners and watchers are into. I'd love to see how diverse the musical taste is. Already saw Killer Demon says metal is in there. So metal has already put one on the scoreboard. If you care about your genre, put your vote in the comments section.
Better than ska, I tell you.
But for now, you know how many trombonists were able to pay their bills with ska?
You could be in a jazz band. You could be in a classical band. You could be in a pops band. You could be in a lounge Vegas act. You chose ska. Ska was a choice. You deserve what you get.
Baby Ice says disco. That's for you, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you.
Maria says hip hop. King Art says punk. Danny Cochran says elevator music, which is actually very relaxing.
Yeah, I fell asleep on an elevator thanks to that music.
Leonard says Faith No More is my favorite band of all time. Epic was, I used to love that song with the burning piano at the end. What is it? You know, he's playing the song. Oh, yeah. That was great. Wow. I realized I don't know the actual words. That's,
I was waiting for it. I was like, oh
boy.
Poor Jimmy. He's going to like not come back ever.
No.
Jack singing, I'm out.
Post Rock, King Art. Dylan says Baja.
Not even the Baja Men, the Baja Boys. Who are these people? Are they cover band? The Baja Men?
Are they doing the puppies out? it's kids rock.
Nobody with some 50 Cent.
Come on, yeah.
I was at a birthday party yesterday, and the son-in-law of the birthday lady was playing that song, the birthday song, nonstop on a loop until they brought the cake out.
Oh, I totally would do that on my birthday. I'll be insufferable on my birthday.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Leonard gets it. What is it is basically the hook. Yeah, I can't remember what he says too, because he like sings it one way. He goes, what is it? What is it? You know what I mean. But Milli Vanilli, King Art.
Girl, you know it's true.
Oh, what was their other hit? They had a jam. Anyways, I'm gonna get off guard for so long. But Soca for
Let's Go, Soca music. Yeah.
Sheamus and Bronson Reed, they had a matchup, and it's a banger. Sheamus gets his first big win since returning. Post-match, Pete Dunne takes out Reed, then takes out Sheamus from behind. After Pete leaves, Reed hits a tsunami on Sheamus. I wrote Dom in my notes. I obviously had something on my mind during that moment, though. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Pete Dunne looking like he's going to the other side of the tracks?
Yeah, that seems to be the path for him. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because I still don't understand why he took out Bronson Reed first anyways. It almost looked like, yeah, he's going to stick up for his old partner, his old mentor, and then all of a sudden takes him out and lets Bronson Reed hit the tsunami, which in theory would get him his heat back. But after taking that loss, I don't think it did that.
Yeah, Flobo, what are your thoughts on this little triangle we have here with Sheamus, Reed, and Pete Dunne? I feel like they're three guys that all need to win, but now only two can.
Yeah, you know, and I think the losing end of that is going to be Bronson Reed once again. I think everyone looks at him and goes, you're a beast. We'll get you back later. That's okay, Bronson. I don't think 24 is going to be his year. But it's interesting that Pete Dunne desired to do the change now. Tyler Bate being on the shelf, trying to do his own thing, get the old theme music back. This could be something good in that Intercontinental Division. It may not be number one contender status, but Pete Dunne and Sheamus are good dance partners. This is how you really reintroduce Pete Dunne to the main roster. I'm all for it.
I'm totally sidetracked now. King Art with Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time. What a thing. I was gonna say, Milli Vanilli, that, you know what their banger was that I really liked was Don't Forget My Number. That's the good one.
Whoa, deep cuts.
Yeah, that's the good one. Baby Ice says Sweet Caroline. Now, Jimmy, that's right up your alley.
Oh, maybe not. I saw the George Clinton. Who said George Clinton?
Dude, George Clinton had some. All his songs, though, are like 17 minutes long.
Make it complete. Nothing but the dog. And yeah, wow, 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 yippee, oh, yippee,
yeah. Yeah, he got paid per minute on his songs, I swear. He put them all in there like so long.
Right.
All of the wrestling fans have left. We're talking about all this random music.
Oh, wait a minute. How about Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band? Or is that too old school for everybody?
Bob Seger. He has some hits.
Turn the page.
Yeah, he had that was old time rock and roll, right? Just like take those old records off the shelf.
Yeah.
Risky business.
Bum, 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 bum. This is, we need a DJ segment from Jack one day. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm an award-winning DJ. That's a real fact, okay? I am in the Knot Hall of Fame, just so you know. That's K-N-O-T. I am a Hall of Famer.
Like, wait, the Knot Hall of Fame? The Knot Top 10?
Okay. I am a Hall of Famer. That's real. I'm sure, a Hall of Famer.
Sure. No one's ever heard of it, right? Okay, great. Okay.
Scott Langford says LeBar would have been muting people. So we had a couple of segments. Zelina Vega and Sonya Deville have a run in, and Sonya Deville gets a quick win over Vega. Then later, Caden Carter and Katana Chance lose to Baszler and Stark. But they, after they had chased off Sonya Deville and the crew, so lots of stuff went down there. Jimmy, thoughts on this new group? Are you buying the Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark group? Are you liking it?
I like the idea of it. I'm waiting for them to deliver, though. They haven't delivered for me. I'm not on board yet. I want to see more from them. And taking shots at them like Zelina Vega did backstage in that little promo segment with Sonya Deville. I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to give it a chance. But right now, so far, how many chances are you going to give Shayna Baszler? Don't get me wrong. I think she's a great talent. It's just, you know, like I said, how many times are you going to give her the ball?
I thought that was actually the Zelina. It's funny you mentioned the Zelina Vega stuff. I felt like she came off like the bad guy there.
Yeah.
She's kind of being a jerk. Like, nope. They were like, hey, we run things. And they're like, well, you're fat and ugly and stupid. I was like, Zelina, that's mean.
I was on board.
No, what was the comment she made? She couldn't hear because of her forehead or something like that?
Yeah. That was hilarious.
And then made fun of the other one's mustache.
I was dying. That's cool. Listen. Zelina Vega, I love her to death as a character because I'm from Brooklyn. She's from Queens. I get all that, but she doesn't win a lot. So for a second there, having three people show up who have legitimate MMA or fighting experience going against Zelina, she definitely is getting bullied. She will not be bullied. She will get beat up, but she would not get bullied. It helps her out in the long run. And come on, we've all been making these jokes about this group online. My problem with them is they're just too similar. I really can't tell which one's a strength and which one's weaknesses because they're all supposed to be tough, badass fighters or whatever. So when Zeta cut them down, I'm on board.
Flobo, I told you I was going to ask this question, so I'm going to stick to my guns here.
Dang it!
The LWO, is that a faction in name only, or do they still really exist?
Absolutely, because they were probably in the break room, like by a water cooler, because Zelina was getting her butt handed to her. And they're like, nah, not today. Where's Dragon Lee? Is he around? Is he still in the group?
That's my point, Jimmy. The LWO, I feel like when one of them comes out, they have the LWO stuff. I'm like, it's the LWOs. But as a group, I don't think they actually interact anymore. Like, they don't act much like a group anymore.
No, but you see that a lot with some groups where it takes something really, really heinous to get the other members to come out. So I don't know. In this situation, I guess the rest of the LWO members are male. And what are they're not going to come out and fight the females, I don't believe. So, you know, they kind of pigeonhole themselves there.
Yeah. Any ideas, Jimmy, on Zelina using all that Vaseline before the match? Do other wrestlers do that?
Before it was not allowed, believe it or not, for them to use any kind of oil or something like this. Somebody was too oily back in the day. You had to tell them to towel off a little bit. It was, an old school thing, but somebody tweeted me back when I said it, Vaseline, why? And he said that in my neighborhood, when the girls got into a fight, they put Vaseline on so the nails didn't cut them. And I don't know if that was the point here. My immediate reaction was, if she's putting on Vaseline on her face and on her neck, it would be if she's fighting someone with an MMA background, once they got him in a reverse choke or something like that, maybe easier to slip out.
No, Vaseline in a street fight is for those reasons alone, right? So if you get scratched at, your skin can take a little bit more of those. If someone's using an ox or a box cutter, they have to get a little bit deeper to cut that first layer of skin. So it's become a universal sign of it's about to get real. But then, of course, they covered it on commentary saying, in boxing, we use Vaseline because of the boxing glove. Yaka, waka, waka.
So you think in this case, Zelina was worried about, like, this is kind of a compliment to the nails of Sonya Deville in this case. No, so, hey, you got a big forehead, but your nails.
Yeah.
It's more of a character beat. It's more like, I'm from the streets. I'm going to show you I'm going to fight you. It's just, but she still lost, though, in like 2 seconds. It was kind of bad.
Well, to be fair, there was some outside interference.
Shenanigans.
Some shenanigans happened. But this was a pretty solid event for WWE this week on Raw. Everyone in the chat, let me know what you thought. Flobo, let's start with you. Overall thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Well, thanks so much for having me sit in for LaBar once again. Hopefully he can return, because we got some LaBar fans in the chat. This Raw is pretty solid. We got some development for some of the new factions. We have some stories are carrying over from one week to the next. Things are looking a lot more of a solid show, even though this one wasn't as high wattage as before. The way it ended with Wyatt 6 in the Intercontinental Championship match, I enjoyed. You can follow me online at Flobo Boys on that X. But every Wednesday, this guy, Jack Farmer, we combine for the top 100 wrestling podcast, Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com.
Yeah, we got Maria ranking an 8. We got Scott Langford coming through. Tut Graff, Baby Ice, 7.8. Adonde, of course, Goodfella with the box cutter comment. Flobo, you're shocking the world with your knowledge of street fighting.
You're the street champion, Jack.
Dude, I am the Tacoma street champion.
Oh, right.
It's actually just a long way of saying street taco champion. Jimmy, yes. Overall thoughts on the show? Where can we find you online?
I thought it was fine. The show was fine. It's heading into SummerSlam. You don't want to, put all your eggs in one basket this far out. You still got a couple more weeks to go, and that's the go home show is the most important one. That's where you want to really, really hit a home run. And yes, we acknowledge the Bee Gees, all the Gibb brothers, including Andy.
I saw the Australian Bee Gees in Vegas. Best show ever. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but the best show ever.
The Australian Bee Gees.
Yeah.
How tell me they do something that makes it very Australia.
Yeah. They just stop in the middle and go, oh, good night, mate. We're Australian. That's it. And they go back to the music. Yeah.
Tremendous. Oh, man.
That'd be fun to see. Well, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across. Oh, Jimmy, you didn't say where you're from.
Yeah. I didn't get my.
I always cut you off. I'm sorry.
We get distracted here. I know. Heel. It's easy. It's easy. What a heel.
The Bee Gees are Australian.
Oh, that's right. I mean,
yeah. But the actual band is called the Australian Bee Gees. They're like, okay.
Goodness. Oh, boy.
All right. That is my favorite moment of the day.
No, it's not.
Australian Bee Gees.
No, but they're the band. Forget it.
As opposed to the Aussie Bee Gees.
Right, exactly. Yes. The brand is actually called the Australian Bee Gees.
Well, you know what? That is not my favorite line of the night. My favorite line of the night was actually, believe it or not, Pat McAfee, when he said, it's a yeet fest in the Nutter Center. I don't know. When he said that, I just fell off my chair. I couldn't take it anymore.
The fact you said it, so pristine, too.
Yeah. Oh, good. But as far as where you can find me not reviewing music, you can catch me here on Monday nights and having that blast. And always on Wednesday nights after Dynamite. And they've been putting on some hell of a shows the last couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to them keeping up the momentum. Let's put it that way. And you can catch me on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, our producer, who holds everything together. This past week, we had a banger. Talk about bangers. We had the coach on, Jonathan Coachman. It was what a blast. And yes, we brought up the race, the infamous race. And my ref and rants, which you can catch from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, just nitpicking as I always do, like the tighten the screws that I think could that need a little tightening. That's all.
Why am I getting flamed in the chats? They are called, the cover band is called the Australian Bee Gees. I know the actual Bee Gees. I quit.
People, Dylan decided to see see Canadian Celine Dion and Leonard's there to see American Limp Bizkit.
Look it up.
Listen, America doesn't claim Limp Bizkit.
No, we do not. We do not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so speaking of music, we're going off the rail on a crazy train.
You can find me at Real Jack Farber across all social media. You can also check me out on the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show right here, along with Jimmy Corderas. That one's going to be a fun one. But also, as Flobo mentioned, Draped in Gold, we cover NXT every week on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time here. And Jimmy, we just broke into the top 100 wrestling podcasts here in the United States. So it's kind of a big week for us. If you guys want to help us celebrate, tune in this week on Wednesday and listen to us chat all about whatever happens on NXT tomorrow. I have no, so I can't really tease it that well. But guess what? It's going to be a good one. So see you there. That does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. And make sure to tune into the NXT After Show on this channel right after NXT is done tomorrow. That does it for us. We're hitting the end stream. Bye, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.